have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you.
Y'all know I'll be over here jamming to my theme song, Speak Your Peace. Come and talk to me. I love it. I love it. I love it. We always want to give a shout out to our Dre Bell, the producer for that amazing theme song that he wrote for us. Love it, love it, love it. And I can't really dance. I can't really dance, y'all. But I'm trying to get it together. So, you are listening to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, and I'm your host. I'm your host, Lady Michelle, and welcome to our virtual safe zone. We are here today. We have an amazing show for you. We are ending domestic violence awareness month, and we got something good for you tonight, right? We got something that we're going to bring this thing on to an end. Well, it's not really ending. We just ending the awareness month part of it that the world gives us October. But you know, here at Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, we do domestic violence all year, right? So we're always doing something. We're always bringing you some type of awareness from, you know, all the different angles. So tonight we're going to end it with that part. But before that, you know, we have to do a little bit of housekeeping. We always have to do the housekeeping. And in bringing that to your attention, I want you guys to know that this platform is centered around the education of domestic violence, toxic relationships. We're always going to talk about the different forms of trauma. We're talking about some self-love here. We talk about finding your voice. And, you know, those are just a few of the things that we talk about. We have so many other topics that come up. And, of course, you know, anytime you have a topic that you want us to talk about, you can always let me know. And Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was really designed with each and every one of you in mind. We wanted to make sure that we were bringing things to you that could enlighten you, that could educate you. We definitely wanted to keep inspiring you and empowering you. Now, we got to go here with this part. Always go here with this part. We got to make the disclaimer. All content of this one right here that you're listening to is intended for general information purposes only and is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional mental health, for trauma advice, or therapy sessions. That's it, right? You got that? Y'all following me? You must never, ever, ever, ever disregard or delay seeking professional treatment based upon any content that you're going to get from this podcast. I want you to promptly, I mean immediately, consult your physician or call 911 if you ever believe that you are having a medical emergency. Don't tune into us. I want you to take care of your business. You can always catch us on the replay, okay? And, you know, I always tell you guys that, you know, if you are, if you're feeling triggered or, you know, something that we're speaking about, if it's something that's, you know, coming at you in a way that is not healthy to you at the moment, y'all know I want you to turn this thing off and take care of yourself first. You can always come back and listen to us. We love you. We want to make sure that you are okay before you are tuning in to any kind of show. So just want to put that out there to everybody. Y'all know I love y'all so very, 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 very much. So I want to make sure, and I want the best for you. We know that during this past couple of years, I think we're getting ready to come up on 3 years of the pandemic. And so many of us, we went through that thing. We was feeling some type of way. We went through some stuff, right? And so that was one of the goals that we have for this podcast, is that we wanted to make sure that we helped to create something that the listeners could look at, they could listen to, rather. It could be something that they could integrate into their lives and give them something that was deeply satisfying and really could help them to become a whole person. And so that's what we do here. We definitely talk about trauma because that's a huge part of it, a huge part of the domestic violence part, and we want to make sure that we're covering that and we're covering the childhood trauma and things like that. But we have to talk about other things that's going to help us to really show up as that whole person. And so really trying to figure these things out sometimes, and we got to reevaluate our lives and, if we're going to ever be into this thriving part that we're supposed to be in, we gotta work this thing out, right? We gotta learn about all kinds of different things, and so that's what we have for you tonight. We got something that's gonna it's gonna knock your socks off. So y'all ready? Are y'all ready? I'm ready. I'm excited. So I'm going to get ready to introduce my guest for tonight. I think I took care of all of the housekeeping rules. Y'all know that we, everybody here, we want to make sure that everybody's okay and get ready for the information, right? So we're ready. We're ready because I'm just talking and talking and talking. Mr. Ronald Williford is our guest tonight. I am so excited to have him here with me. I met him a few years ago. It hasn't even been a couple. It's been a few. It's been many, many, many. Right? Met him, and he was doing some financial things for domestic violence victims. And he, I think they were doing the Purple Purse or something like that. And I met him at a domestic violence program, at an event, and he really blessed me with the information that he was given, because when you are going through the different types of domestic violence and domestic abuse and all of those different toxic relationships that you're in, when you're going through those different things, you need some help. And anywhere that we can get that help from, we welcome that help. And so he is the CEO of Philadelphia Financial Consultants, LLC. He is an independent financial planning broker specializing in personal financial planning, retirement planning, small business consulting, and tax planning. He do it all, y'all. Help me, Thriver Nation. Welcome, Ron Williford. Yay! Ron,
good
here?
Evening, Lady Michelle. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. You are not going to come on here tonight with this very right voice. Come on. I love it.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Good to hear from you.
Awesome. It is great to hear from you, to talk with you tonight. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be my guest for my podcast tonight. I thank you for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Pleasure to be here this evening.
Awesome, awesome. So listen, you're going to help my Thriver Nation tonight. And we are known as the Thriver Nation because, of course, our tagline is no longer a victim, more than a survivor, I am a thriver. So we are the Thriver Nation here, everyone who listens to our podcast. And we're excited that you're going to help us as we end Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but of course not Domestic Violence Awareness. So you're going to talk tonight about financial abuse and just the different ways that we can work when we come out of that. So a lot of times when people come out of domestic abuse and the other person has been the sole controller of the finances, we really don't know how to work through it, and you're going to help us through that tonight, right?
Exactly.
All right, so I'm going to let you get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Why did you even get into this? What made you want to start helping the domestic violence victims?
Okay, great. Yeah, I've been in the financial planning business for about 36, 37 years. I got started working with victims or survivors of domestic violence back, I guess it's been about 10 years ago. I was working with Allstate, the Good Hands people, was part of it. And one of our missions, one of our goals, is we were involved in domestic violence, and we wanted to make an impact on how we could reach this population of our society. So I became very involved. Was able to give out some award money to various organizations. I was invited to a workshop, and I was asked to talk about financial planning and you know, address the domestic violence survivors. And what I found out is that a lot of times, just listening to the stories, you know, you're leaving an abusive relationship, and sometimes you're leaving with just the clothes on your back. So my approach, I had to rethink the way that I looked at things, because most of the time when I'm talking to someone about their finances, they already have finances. So the first thing, I had to step back and say, well, how can I design this talk to be able to reach people that have nothing and able to take whatever they have and become a resource and use those resources to move forward? So one of the first things that we talk about budgeting. And that's simply to take a look at what you have and then what your needs are, writing them down on paper, and then just making sure that you have some means to receive income or even in some cases, some of the survivors were able to even start their own business by just taking a look at their own personal resources and then taking those resources and applying them and figuring out a way to provide some type of income to survive. And, you know, I've heard the stories where some of the women would go and buy stuff and use the receipts, return the item just to provide themselves with enough cash to be able to, you know, to get away from that abusive situation. So over the years, I've talked to senators, I've talked to legislators as an advocate for domestic violence abuse. As a matter of fact, that's how I met President Joe Biden when he wasn't even the vice president then when I first started this. We're working on a bill, I think it's the VACA bill, that would change some of the laws involving domestic violence. So what I actually did, I started traveling the state of Pennsylvania, going to different agencies and just promoting the word and spreading my message to domestic violence survivors. And that's how it got started. So I've been doing this work for quite some time now. I actually left Allstate. It's been 5 years now, but I continue the mission of helping support this cause.
Oh, wonderful. I'm telling you, this. I love what you said when you were saying, you know, you're speaking with the, excuse me, the survivors, and you're now talking to people who don't have anything. They're leaving with, you know, they're just leaving with their life. And I love that you changed the way you were approaching them. And you said, okay, well, now let me teach them how to now budget, because before they didn't have any control over their money at all. So now let me help them and meet them where they are, and then we can move from there. I love that approach, because it really makes it easier for someone who's already feeling some type of shame and guilt and things like that, because they really don't know how to manage their money. They don't have a lot of money. And so I love that you help them in that area. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases, you know, you meet a financial consultant or a financial planner, and most people think, I got to have a whole lot of money. That's never been my approach. I mean, if you have a penny, we try to make that penny grow and find some ways to increase your livelihood. You know, everyone says, well, you don't have enough money to work with me. I've never taken that approach. You know, my background is I'm going to meet you where you're at. And I've always taken that approach. And I call it from square one. So if your square one is empty, I'm going to help you to fill the square one to get you to the next step.
Awesome. So let me, and I really probably should have started out like this, but that's okay because it's my show. I can do it the way I want to do it, right?
That's right.
Let me start off by saying, or let me kind of jump in here with it and really tell those who may be listening who may not even know what financial abuse really is. And so financial abuse as it relates to domestic abuse, because there are a lot of different types of financial abuse. But as it relates to domestic abuse, it is a common tactic that's used by abusers to gain power and control in a relationship. And so the forms of financial abuse may be subtle and overt, but in general include tactics to conceal information. They limit the victim's access to assets, or they reduce accessibility to the family finances. Financial abuse, along with emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, includes behaviors to intentionally manipulate, intimidate, and threaten the victim in order to entrap the person in the relationship. In some cases, financial abuse becomes present when the survivor is attempting to leave or has left the relationship. Now, I want to put a pause in there for 1 second, because this description right here was so interesting, because when it says sometimes when they're leaving when they attempt to leave, or they've already left the relationship. But when they're attempting to leave, some people don't understand that that's why a victim stays. Some people don't understand because it's the finances. And I've even had some leave, and some of my clients who leave, and I'm talking to them, and I'm trying to get them to a place of you know, staying out of the relationship. They wind up going back because they can't handle it being out there without the finances of that abuser, because he or she had all the money. They controlled the money. They even had control of their money, and so they don't know how to survive without it. So what's your thoughts on that as far as what I just read about them attempting to leave or already leaving the relationship, and the financial abuse is really present?
Right, yeah. I mean, there have been situations where the money is absolutely controlled. Go to work every day, and you don't even see your own paycheck because it's deposited into, you know, you're forced to deposit it into a checking account, which you have no access to. Also, situations where your credit's used to purchase a car. So a lot of times when you're leaving a situation, your credit's shot. You can't even borrow any money. You can't, your credit scores are absolutely horrendous. So if you try to purchase, let's say, for example, to get an apartment, your credit scores are so low, you couldn't even get an apartment. So a lot of times it's just, like I say, leaving with the shirt off your back. So we practice and help folks to get the credit in order, to just understand how the financial system works. I mean, that's the key. And it's some financial literacy tips to help them to, you know, first of all, survive, and then process those tips and those techniques in order to make their life that much better. And I found even some of the simple things, like, you know, some of my clients just want to get their nails done. So we generate enough money and within their budget, so those things become a priority, you know, beyond just the basics. Sometimes just those personal things are what helps you to move to the next level. And I think as financial planners, we kind of say, well, you're wasting money in this area, when in fact this area that we presume is being wasted is actually therapeutic for you. So, you know, that's a whole different holistic approach that that I use.
Oh, I love that. That is really good. And I'm so sure that you have seen a high success rate with those who you have worked with by using that approach.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a relationship. It has to be a relationship, and that relationship, you've got to understand your client. So it's a part of the relationship, and you've got to be very understanding of that person's personal situation and able to guide them in the right direction. I think a lot of times we have a preformed opinion of people, and so you got to put that aside and just be there with your whole heart to be able to help folks.
Yeah, I love this because when I think about when I left my abusive relationship, I did have a job already. But because of the abuse that I experienced as a child, my mom, of course, because she's the mother, is controlling all the finances, of course, right? But what I want to get at is there's no education, and a lot of parents weren't back then educating their children on how to budget, not so much as budget the money, but how to use your money, how to spend your money, what things you should be trying to do when you get older and leave the home. So coming right out of that home with my mom, I, you know, of course, got married young, and coming out of that abuse, I didn't know how to do my money when I got out of it. So, yes, I may have had my own job, but I didn't know how to budget. I didn't know how to, you know, to save. I didn't know how to, and I'm not using these things as excuses. I'm saying these were real things that were going on. And so if we had had people like that to speak to us like we have now, I think I would have been in a better space. I wound up having like 2-3 jobs, but never, ever knowing how to make those ends meet. And so I'm still having that mentality that almost like still having like a victim mentality, not really knowing how to access or do the right thing with my money. So I am just happy that you're doing it. That's my point I'm getting to, y'all. I know I just went around the corner and everything, but my point is I'm so glad that you are doing what you're doing, because people need this who are coming out of abusive situations. They need someone who can understand where they are. They need someone who can understand where they are trying to go and can help them to get to that place financially, because that's how you're going to make it. You're going to have the finances together. So, again, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So, I was looking at some things, and I saw that financial abuse, we know is huge. We know it's that's a big thing. It's like 99% is like a huge number. And in that, we know that, you know, people have lost their jobs coming out of the abuse. Maybe they even have to change jobs. So they may have to leave that job so they can get away from the person, right? And so now they don't even have the finances that they only had a little bit of control over it or no control. Now they don't even have the finances. And then we also know that, you know, they can lose their jobs even still being in the home, still being in the abusive situation. So how do you guys help them? Do you have any kind of programs that, you know, you would try to help them to try to rebuild? Because we're about rebuilding here.
Right, yes. I mean, I've got resources and people that I can reach out to, different programs that are available. Sometimes my job, even though it's titled as a financial consultant, sometimes I become a social worker as well. You know, just being in this space of domestic violence, I have people I can reach out to, you know, on a national level, local level, state level, that are very committed to this cause as well. So there are resources out there.
Awesome. So,
and, you know, even over the years of being involved, you know, I created a network of people that I can reach out to for people that are in this situation.
And that's what it's about. It's about building those connections and those, not so much networks. I love that. I was just in a conference last week, and one of the things was about building connections. I know a lot of times we thought about networking, but you, from what you're saying, you've built these connections and you have some ways that can, you know, get the people the help that they need. And that really changed my mindset on how we should be out here doing it. We're all entrepreneurs and we have people who look to us for our resources so that we can help them, because it's not enough, of course, to just tell someone to leave an abusive situation. We have to be able to help them when they do make that decision, because they're not going to make the decision just because we said it. But when they are ready, we need to have the resources and the connections and the things that they are going to need to move forward and get their self together, their whole self.
Right.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we've got to be understanding as to when someone says, I don't know how to leave. And if you don't understand the reasons why they can't leave, you can't counsel them on reasons why they should leave. And you've got to understand that person's situation. I mean, you just can't come in and say, you got to leave, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to understand their situation. I think the better you understand their situation, the more value you can be for them.
Absolutely. And so some of the things I know you wanted to talk to us about tonight was, and I know you brought up the word budget. Do you have any ways, and without going into the whole budget piece, but do you have some key points that you normally would tell them to try to help them with their budgets and knowing how their money flows?
Right, yeah. I mean, one of the things is I tell folks, get a little notebook and then just keep track of where you spend your money. And a lot of times the budget is based on your habits. Like for me, for example, I used to get, when I would get gas, there were two gas stations. One gas station had a convenience store, the other gas station didn't. And I had a tendency to go to the gas station where there was a convenience store. So I'd get gas, run in and grab a cup of coffee, and then you had to have something with the coffee. You had to have a tasty cake or whatever. So you look up and your purpose is to get the gas, but then you wind up spending $5 more. So just by shifting my habits and going to the gas station where there wasn't a convenience store, you know, I didn't spend that additional $5. So 3-4 times that you get gas a week, that's $15. You multiply that by 4 weeks, that's $60 you could save and put somewhere. So it's just practical, simple things and just learning what your lifestyle is and then making some tweaks in your lifestyle. Because 80% of budgeting is habits. So if you shift some of your habits, you may be a 3-pack-a-day smoker. So you try to shift those habits. You might go to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee, but switch to go to Wawa, you'll save about $4 every time you get a cup of coffee. So it's just shifting some of your habits, and I think that's the first step to creating a budget.
Wow. Okay, so you just helped me out. I need this myself because...
Leave those caramel macchiatos alone, right? At Starbucks.
Oh, my goodness. So mine
that
is
latte.
Pepsi therapy. Right. So everybody knows that I, and if you don't know, you now know, that I am a avid Pepsi drinker. Pepsi. So I call myself saying, okay, I'm not going to buy the Pepsi when I go to the market because I'm not going to drink any this week. This is what I tell myself. So I'm going to be good. I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to get it from the market because if I buy the, you know, the 6-pack or the 2-liter and all of that stuff, then I'm going to, that's going to make me drink it, right? So I tell myself I'm not going to do it. But then I wind up buying, you know, 2 bottles of soda from the, you know, corner store or something,
right,
4 days out the week. So I didn't mess myself up because I could have got it when I was at the market and paid the lesser amount, right?
Yes, it's That's funny. I started shopping at Whole Foods, and people say, well, why do you shop there? It's expensive. I think I actually saved money because a lot of the snacks and that other type of stuff, they don't sell it at Whole Foods. So I would have gone in, you know, going to the regular store, and I'm going to buy chips. I'm going to buy all this other stuff. But then you go to like a farmer's market where you buy produce, and it's simply food that you can eat. You actually will wind up saving money.
Wow.
Because you're spending more on your necessities. Yeah, you're spending more on your necessities. I mean, every time you go to the checkout line, there's gum, there's candy. You know, when I go to the regular store, I'm picking up a Snickers bar, or I'm picking up something in the checkout aisle versus going to some of the other alternative, quote unquote, health stores where you have produce. You don't find that type of stuff in the checkout aisle. So in reality, you're actually would save money because you're not buying all that extra stuff.
Wow, so that's a great segue into what I wanted to discuss next, which you really kind of got into it, but really discussing about the wants versus the needs, the goal setting, things like that. So I know you were touching on it really briefly just now, but can you go a little deeper into that? And don't step on my toes right now because I like to buy shoes, so I feel like you're getting ready to tell me. I'm going to have to stop that or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've almost become a minimalist because I looked in my closet, especially during COVID. You know, you put on a couple extra pounds, and then I look at some of the clothes that were just sitting with tags on them that I wasn't wearing. They were already a year or so old. So I started reshaping my thinking and saying, hey, you know, there's certain things that I like to wear. So that's what I buy. You know, someone will run out and pay $300 for a pair of Jordans, and then 2 months, you know, they're not worth what you spent for them. So sometimes it's just delayed reaction. And a lot of times you buy stuff off season. So now we're going into the winter season. So you buy stuff from the summer because all that stuff is half price. And if you're not buying things that are based on the fad, like the latest thing, you know, you buy basics, a pair of jeans, a shirt. You know, that's something that you're always going to wear. You know, you try to stay away from the trendy stuff. But I think by developing that mindset, you wind up saving money so that every now and then you do splurge on something. But it's not coming from directly from your paycheck. It's money that you actually saved for. Because a lot of times if you delay the reaction or it's delayed the gratification, you save for what you want. So if you want that pair of Jordans, save X amount per month instead of running and purchasing it from the next paycheck. And most folks are probably a paycheck or two away from being broke, you know, being without a home, because we have a tendency to live paycheck to paycheck in our society. And it's all about the delayed gratification, you know. And there's actually, if you have Netflix, there's a show on Netflix. It's called A Minimalist. And these guys were high-flying, you know, six-figure guys, and they broke down their lifestyle to just what they needed. So they lived within a room. He said he wore basically the same clothes and certain things that he liked, so that's all he had in his closet. And, I mean, the cell phone, we purchased a cell phone, the latest cell phone. We always got to have a cell phone. We forget what the cell phone is actually for. It's to make a call. You know, who cares if your cell phone takes a better picture? You know, it's all about the convenience of being able to make that call. So, I mean, just little things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is good because I was going to ask you, what do you say to the mother or even the father? Because we know that domestic abuse and financial abuse and all of those things are not gender specific. And so it could be happening to a male just like it's happening to a female. And I was going to ask you, mm-hmm. what do you say to them? You know, they're coming out of this abusive situation. They're now trying to start over. But you really just answered it, you know, when you're just saying, hey, right now you just need to focus on the necessities, not your wants, but you need to be focusing on the things that you absolutely need for you and your children, if you have your children with you, so that you can start to just rebuild your life. But you have to, you know, be in the now. You have to live now. And we'll get to those
right.
other things later on as time permits.
Right, yeah, and also, I mean, the first key of financial planning, you learn to pay yourself first. So with every dollar you put away 10, 20%, you save that. And then even if you spend the difference, at least you put away a portion of what you've earned.
Oh, yeah, I don't pay myself. I know. I've heard that before, and I need to get back to doing that. At one point, I was trying it, and I don't even have an excuse anymore. My children are fully grown on their own, and now I'm just, you know, I may have to stop buying a bunch of shoes and some other things that I have been doing. And you're right, the pandemic really taught us that we don't really need all those things, and we weren't going anywhere. We weren't wearing them anywhere. I'm still working from home and many others. And then, you know, I done put on a few COVID pounds. You know, now it's like, just get some tights and a big T-shirt or something that, you know, you could look at least presentable. But this is a really good information that you have given to our Thriver Nation. I just want to just reiterate a few things about financial abuse, because I want to make sure that they understand that that's really what we're covering tonight, and then how you're helping them to process through that and what they can do once they get out and once they are trying to make a new life for themselves. But for for those who are still in it, I want them to understand what it even is, because believe it or not, some people, they don't know. They're in it, and they don't even know that they're being abused. And so we want to make sure that everyone who is listening to this knows, you know, again, what it is, what some of the, you know, what it looks like, that kind of stuff, because it can get past you. You know, again, we said it's subtle, right? It can get past you. It can. You may think it's nothing wrong with giving my spouse or, you know, my significant other all of my money, putting it all in one account, because they may use something like, oh, hey, I know that you've been going through a lot, or, you know, I'm pretty much better at organizing all of the money and paying the bills. So just put everything in one pot, and I'll just give you a little allowance every week. It could be something as subtle as that. And before you know it, you no longer have access to the account. You don't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I always recommend that, you know, if you're in a relationship, you should have your own account, and then you have one account where you contribute that's going to pay the bills, or you send your portion of the bills from your account, and that's where you have some degree of control. But sometimes that's difficult, because in a lot of relationships, we finger point the one person that's going to handle the bills in the house.
Right. So some of the examples of financial abuse can also be this part right here, and I want to make sure I get this out. It can be forcing a partner to miss, to leave, or to even be late for work. That's a part of financial abuse. It can be something harassing a partner at work. So while they're there, you know that they are a customer service rep. You know that they can't have their phones at their desk, but you are harassing this person and making them have to call you. They have to check in. They have to answer you every time you call. So it can be certain things like that. Of course, withholding money for basic living resources. It's stealing the money, stealing the credit. You talked about the credit and the property. They could be getting houses and cars and different things in your name, and you don't know it. And now when you do leave, your credit score is a 300 or a 400. You don't even know what's happening. So those are things I want everyone to be mindful. Write those things down so that you know what financial abuse looks like. So that's just a few things. I don't know. You might have a few more that I missed. If you have anything else that I didn't say, please share.
Yeah, and I'm always transparent. You know, I teach and practice financial planning, financial awareness, but I'm human as well. You know, I think what helps me with my approach is I've been in situations where there's no money. I've been in situations where, you know, you get into a tight situation. And I think that's the value that I bring to what I talk about. You know, not necessarily being in a domestic violence relationship, but just being in relationships where you lost your job and what do you do next? And I think a lot of it comes to faith and just thinking that you can get out of that situation and then having the support systems to help you to take it to the next level.
Absolutely. I love that you are transparent about that, because this is what I try to tell people. Even though, you know, we talk about domestic violence, but it may be that you are now out, but you still don't know how to really do things, or you lose your job or whatever. So we want people to know that while it may start off that we are talking about domestic violence, we're talking about really just real life situations and real life issues. And so we don't want someone to say, well, I'm not in financial abuse, so I don't have to deal with this, or I don't have to listen to this. No. The budgeting piece is for everybody. The, you know, watching and knowing where your money is flowing and how it flows, that's for everybody. That's for you to be able to live a good life, to live a financially independent life. A life of financial freedom, because we don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck. That is not how God intended for us to live. And so we want to be able to take the things that he's blessed us with, and we want to make sure that we're doing the right things with our money. We want to make sure that we are, you know, if you do have a job where you can put that 401k plan, you know, do that. If you are able to get some other type of financial planning, make sure you do that. You could, everybody that's listening can reach out to Ron. He can, you know, help you with your financial planning. I know I'm on the other side now. I'm 55. It'll be time to retire before you know it. So I'm in the place now where I'm checking my money and checking to see, okay, how much is in the 401k plan? How much is in my pension? How, you know, those type of things. What else do I need to put in somewhere so that I can be okay? So that when I retire, if I want to go to Walmart because I just want to have something to do, I could do that. But not I'm going to Walmart because I can't live. I can't function because I didn't do the right things with my money. So that's what we want to make sure that you all are understanding today, that that's what we're talking about. So anything you want to share to add to that, Ron?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, in order to grow, I mean, it's about setting goals as well. You know, what type of goals do you have? And I think it's, like you say, it's about habits, developing those habits and just checking in and just becoming financial literate of things that are going on. You know, just learning how the bank system works, just learning about alternative investments. If you have a 401k, take that whatever percentage you can afford and put it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with having a rainy day fund. And we have a tendency to live for today. Of course, you got to live for today, but you also got to plan for tomorrow as well.
Mhm. Absolutely. I love it. That's great advice, everyone. Make sure that you are handling your business, trying to think and make sure that we are not missing anything with our amazing audience. I want to make sure that you guys are getting everything that you need. While I am going over, just to make sure we haven't missed anything, Ron, please tell the Thriver Nation how they can get in touch with you, any of your social media or your organization. You also help nonprofit organizations as well. Talk a little bit about that with the financial piece of it.
Right, yeah. I mean, my direct number, I mean, you can reach me on all of social media platforms. On Instagram, I'm the Financial OG, THE_financial_OG. Also, Philadelphia Financial is my business Instagram. Or you can reach out to me. My business number is 267-270-5702. I post a lot of financial information. You can, you know, there's ways that you can get a hold of me. You know, I'm involved with Lutheran Settlement House, and I've been doing workshops there for a while. Women Against Abuse, various organizations, Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I've done workshops for them as well. Also on the national level, the National Coalitions Against Domestic Violence as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of resources, and just give me a call on the phone and saying, what do you think about, what do you know about? And I would say 9 times out of 10, I should be able to help you in some respect or another. If I don't know, I can lead you in the right direction.
Thank you for that. And that's what we need. We need someone to be leading us in the right direction. And for all of those who, I want to share this little piece right here, because I'm a transparent person as well, but I want to share this piece. If you are in a situation where you are in a domestic violence situation, or you have gotten out of it. So I'm going to really say when you've gotten out of it, because you probably can't do this while you're still in it. But once you've gotten out and you're now moving on with your life and you are now rebuilding your life, one of the things that I found is I changed jobs. And when I changed jobs, I changed jobs to Independence Blue Cross. And I've been there now 27 years. And I was fresh out of my relationship. And I wasn't divorced yet. And so I didn't put my ex-husband, I'm saying ex now, but at the time he wasn't ex. I didn't put him on the paperwork because I wasn't with him anymore. I was gone out of the home. I had moved on with my life, and I was just trying to do better, right? And I remember them saying in HR, you have to put him on the paperwork because he is still your husband. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, like if anything happens to me, he's going to get my pension. He's going to get all of these things. And so I'm bringing this to your information because it is very important. I had to go get my divorce. In order to keep him from getting this my pension, I had to go get the divorce. Make sure that your divorce is very specific, that they know they cannot get your pension. Everybody's different. Every job is different. Every state is different. Every person is different. You got to really work with your lawyers to see how it's going to fit your situation. But I had to make sure that he couldn't get my pension if anything happened to me. And I'll tell you how petty I am. They told me I had to write his name on the paper. I put it in the very corner of the paper. It just was on there, but I put it in the I'm trying to get delivered, y'all. I'm a little petty. But I was so adamant about doing that, and I made sure that I got that divorce paper and that paperwork was inside my my folder, my HR portfolio and things like that, just to make sure that he could not touch that. That is very important because you think that you're just out of the relationship and you're not divorced or you haven't made that very specific. These people can come up and still take your pension when you die, something like that. So I just want to put that out there.
Right. Well, in the state of Pennsylvania, your ex-spouse can't be the beneficiary on your life insurance. Now, this is by divorce decree. Right.
Right. Yes.
And then also
that's
with
true
your 401k.
For your life
right. Also with your 401k, there's a thing that's called a quadro, qualified domestic order. And when you're going through a divorce, your spouse can actually request, depending on the assets that you're dividing, they can actually request a portion of your pension.
See? Woo, look at that, Lord. I'm so glad I made it past that part.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for that divorce, that's going to be on the settlement table. You might wind up, like Eddie Murphy says, you might wind up giving up half.
Listen, I'm telling you, and that is not fun. So, you know, take heed, everyone. Make sure that you, because we have listeners from all over. So whatever state you are listening from, make sure that you find out what the legal status is for that. But that is something that I certainly want to share with everyone. All right. So we are, look, this hour is going so fast. We're coming down to the end. Like, it goes so quickly. Are there any final thoughts that you want to give to the Briber Nation concerning all that you have talked about?
Yeah, I think the key is just getting up to speed on financial literacy, knowing how to budget, knowing how to set goals, learning what your habits are, and then maybe sometimes adjusting those habits. I mean, the key is valuing yourself, making sure that you know that you are somebody, and then going forward, you know, you'll begin to prosper. I think it all comes down to developing that mindset, the mindset that you're going to make it.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. And I just want everyone to know, y'all keep your eyes and ears open. Ron is one of the persons that we're going to be featuring in our next magazine. You know, we do have the Unbreakable magazine, and we're just getting some things together. We had a little bit of personnel changes and things like that, but it is coming out, y'all. Y'all keep your eyes and ears open and be ready to make your purchases of the Unbreakable magazine. He is going to be one of our featured guests in that magazine and giving us some information just like what he gave us today and just really keeping us abreast of what we need to do financially. Financial abuse is nothing to sneeze at. It's, and it, again, like I said, it's so subtle that people won't even really know what's happening, including the person that it's actually happening to. So we want to make sure that we are well-rounded when it comes to bringing awareness to all of the different forms of abuse, and financial abuse happens to be one of them. This is the end of the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is ending actually tomorrow is the 31st of October. And so we've had a very successful Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we've given out information all month long on this podcast here. And so go back and listen if you haven't, if you can't remember or you want to listen to it again and get the information, share it with others so that they get the information and so that they are made aware of the different things that's going on with the domestic violence. Thank you so much, Ron, for joining me tonight. We appreciate you, and we thank you so very much for being a part of Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the invite, and you know, when you reach out to me, I'm available at any time. So I appreciate you, and just thank you for having me on your show this evening.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yes, he is very much, when I reach out, whenever I reach out to him, he definitely answers the call, and I do appreciate people like that. Again, like I said, I wish I would have had people like this around when I was going through it, but guess what? They are around now. And so we use them for what we need them to do now to help survivors and thrivers now, and victims. We're not going to leave the victims out. We just like to use the other language because we don't want people to think that that's all they are is a victim. But, you know, we're going to help you if you're still in there, you're surviving that thing every day. We are here for you. So, y'all know I get excited and I start talking really fast. I'm going to learn how to slow it down. but I want to leave with this this quote, and I have, of course, some final words, but I want to leave with this quote. Financial abuse is like underground warfare. The battle is being waged, but many times it's unbeknownst to the victim since there is no clear and present danger. And that quote is by Susanna Quintana. Very powerful quote. I always love to use quotes because they really speak volumes to what I'm trying to say, and they align with my thought, and so they add something that's memorable. So I love the quotes. So we ended with that. My final thoughts, of course, you know, always, I talk about being kind to one another. Kindness goes a long way. And I don't want you to ever stay there with just being kind to others, but I want you to take a step forward and be kind to yourself. And, of course, don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. Yes! And, of course, you know, we will have some more outstanding guests to come to you. I want to thank everyone for an amazing show. I want to just always thank you guys for tuning in and showing up. We love you so much. Thank our special guests. And, of course, I want to remind all of my thrivers, that when you love yourself, you are healed. And when you are healed, you are loved. We're going to get on up out of here now. We thank our amazing producer who's always on the back end, always making this happen for us, Dr. Kimmy Kim. We also love her, and we just want to thank her so much for the amazing things that she does. Always, you can listen to us on, I believe we show up on Spotify, iTunes, all of the major platforms. You can find Elation Radio. Just put in Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, and you will be able to hear us. So thank you again, and have an amazing week, everybody. Thank you, Ron. Have a great night.
Oh, you're welcome. Good evening, everyone.
Pick your head up. Get up. It's only right.
Take back your life. Pick your head up. Get up. Take back your life. And come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Ladies shall hold your peace. Speak your peace.